You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect. I've taken up gardening, and gardening requires some tools, some things that you have to do, and my goal, as I do all of my gardening work, is tomatoing. I know tomatoing, I made that a verb, it is now a verb. I'm tomatoing. And this is a tomato, if you don't know what one is. This is one. They are tasty and red and very delicious. Fresh tomatoes, you cannot beat. Like cutting one and putting it on a sandwich or on a burger. I mean, they're just delicious. They're extra juicy and they're amazing. And so Kendra had this idea, and I went along with it, to build a raised garden. And to build this raised garden... By the way, this is a plant that it would look like. This is actually a tomatillo, so it's technically not the exact kind, but we want to grow tomatoes. We want these. We want to eat these juicy tomatoes. It was last week. The scientists will change it next week. But in the process... I first went out to this, we had this spot out behind our fence, out back, and I went out and I took some grass and weed killer. And I went and sprayed, this was weeks ago, I went and sprayed this whole area back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It was a lot of work, it took some time. I'm doing it for the sake of the work, I'm doing it for the sake of the fruit. I'm putting this work into it for now because I want something good later. And so I sprayed all the grass and weed killer all over everything. And I cut all the dead grass and the brush and the weeds down. And I cut them down, and it took some time. And actually, they were really high, and so I had to go through multiple batteries and all that kind of stuff. And I did it because it was worth it, because I was doing something for later. I was looking for the fruit. Killer, and sprayed it again just to make sure. And so then once I did that, I was like, okay, that's a lot of work, but that's okay, because I'm doing it for something for later. It's for the fruit. So then I came out, and we had this spot on the ground, and so we decided we were going to make a raised garden, so I got cinder blocks. This is actually one of the Snyders. They gave us a bunch, and we had a whole bunch of people involved in this process, giving us some cinder blocks. The Stantons gave us some. And so we outlined this whole wall, this whole area, with cinder blocks, and they were heavy. My back hurt. You know, it was a tiring night. We got scraped fingers and stuff like that. And so we outlined this whole area with blocks, and I was willing to put in all the sweat and all the hard work, because I knew that all the work was for something that was for later. All the work now was for something good for later, for that fruit. And I wanted to eat that tasty tomato. So we did that. And then once we had that wall built, then we needed a place to grow said vegetables. And so we called a company, and they came in, and they brought in garden soil. What do you call it? shovel the topsoil in around through this raised bed area. It was a hot day that day. It was really sweaty. The stuff didn't smell too good, you know, as is normal. And then once we had it all shoveled in there, then we took the rake, the garden rake, and spread it around so it was a nice even layer. And it was a lot of work, but I so I did all that work, and then after that, then we had another, actually the same truck brought a load of mulch, and this was mushroom mulch, which smells awesome. I mean, it's wonderful stuff, and it's really good for growing. And so then I took that mulch, and you know, we took it out of the pile and put it over into the garden area to give a good layer of mulch all over the top. Again, it smelled, it was dirty, it was a hot day, so this is another day, and it took a long time to do it, but it was worth it because I was going for the fruit for later. And so I did that, and then after that was done, then we went out. And what did we do next? Oh, yeah. Then we things we planted in this garden. But we planted the tomato in there and put it in the ground. And we covered it up, you know, and actually Kendra did that part. And so there was a tomato growing in our garden. But we weren't done yet because really the tomato wasn't, this plant wasn't the end. The end result is the fruit. We want to eat the tomato. We want to eat the tomato fruit from it. So after that was done, then I went and we had actually not lumber, what do you call this? Just wood, trees, dead tree limbs they cut down and stuff. And so I made this trellis because tomatoes, to be most effective, they need to grow up and you can get the fruit better and they don't fall over and get all over and make a mess and everything. And then the fruit gets killed. And so we built this trellis. It's really cool, very rustic looking. And then Kendra took some twine. And we took this. She took time to go all back and forth on this trellis, which again was really cool. But I'm really happy about the trellis. It's really cool looking. Because Indian Native American tribe came in and made it, but I made it, and that's how cool it looks. So anyway, tomato somewhere to grow. And you're like, well, why would you put all that work into it just so you'd have a plant with somewhere to grow? Well, because the issue isn't the plant. The issue is the fruit for later. It's not about now. It's about later. So we put the twine in there. So then we took this, and actually just yesterday we fenced all around it. We drove these stakes into the ground and put the fence in. We got poked by the ends of the wire And it hurt, and then we put them in and realized it wasn't the right kind. And we actually put a whole fence in to realize that instead of being 50 feet, it was only 25 feet. So we finished the roll and had to unroll it all back up and then return it and get a bigger one. So we put a fence all the way around it because we wanted to keep the rabbits out of there because we don't want anything eating this. Even though this isn't the goal, this is the goal. But we know if we don't protect this, we're never going to have this. So we put the things in there to protect that plant from the rabbits and whatever other awful creatures. And strolls over to the other neighbor's tree, and he's there, and that's our thing. So then, once we got in the ground, of course, then you obviously water it. And we water it every day, unless it's torrential downpours, as it's been for the last few weeks. But we water it, and we go out there, and we take the time, you know, to fill. Get it all the way out there, and we water this whole thing, and we got to get the hose and roll it all the way back up. And it's a lot of work. It takes time because you have to do it at the end of the day, and it's like, oh, this is the time I'd rather just kind of sit down and lounge. It's been a long day. But why do I do it? Because I'm not doing it for the sake of the work. I'm not doing it for the sake of the water. I'm doing it for the sake of the fruit because I know that later there is going to be a fruit. There is going to be a tomato that we're going to be able to go out, and I'm like, I'm hungry. Pick it off the plant, cut it, slice it, put it on a sandwich. Oh, it's so, like right now, it's just, I love it. And like, it kind of drools down your cheeks and stuff, and you're like, ah, you know. But you do that. And then even later, as this plant starts to grow, we will then come out and we'll take some pruning shears. She's like, nah, you won't do it. She'll take some pruning shears. And if we see that there's a part that isn't growing well or that it's dying, you take your pruning shears and you cut that part off. And it kind of hurts the plant. You can hear, ow, you know. And you cut it, But you do that so that it will grow even better and grow even thicker. And why would you take the time to cut this thing down? Because we're not doing it for the sake of the plant. We're not doing it for the sake of getting to use pruning shears. We're doing it for the fruit that's going to come later. All this work for this. All of this time spent now for the sake of something that doesn't even exist yet, that we won't even see for, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks at best, maybe even longer than that. All this work goes on, and we've been doing this project for easily a month now, maybe more than that. We've been working on it to get this thing ready, all for this. So we put all this effort in now for the sake of something later. If I didn't put any of this effort into this now, we wouldn't have this. And this is exactly like parenting. Because you, as parents, if you're a parent, you are not raising your kids for now. You are raising them for later. And it's going to take work. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to do things that you wouldn't otherwise do. I mean, normally I don't go and spread poop around everywhere. Okay? Maybe I did that when I was like 3 months old. You know? But now I currently don't do that. Not intentionally, unless my son had an issue, which he did last week. But anyway, but I don't do that. I don't do that just for fun. I do that because I know that I'm going to have a fruit later. And it's and you know what? If we did some of this work, we might have fruit, but it might not be very big. It might not be very tasty. It might show up and then die. And so it's not worth just doing a little bit of work. It's worth doing a lot of work to get the best possible result. And I want us to understand as we're going to look at this passage in Hebrews in just a second, that we are given this, like I said, this responsibility from God. He has blessed us with kids. Whether they are biological, whether they are adopted, God planned for those kids to be your kids. And he's given us the responsibility of raising them. And we're not doing it for now, because that's the unfortunate part. We think a lot of times that our job as parents is kind of your mind, but to realize that we're not doing it for today. We're not doing it for convenience now. We're doing it for the sake of something greater later. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Hebrews chapter 12, because I want to show you that God does this for us. God does this for us and to us. In Hebrews chapter 12, if you don't have your Bible, there's also YouVersion.com or the YouVersion app on the iTunes store or the App Store and Android and all that. And you can go to Hebrews 12 and look at that. Oh, excuse me. Don't cough into the mic. But I want to read this passage in Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 5. It says this, and we don't know who wrote Hebrews, but whoever wrote it says, "And you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement." So I just want you to know right now, it doesn't say that, I'm saying that, that everything that is about to follow is meant to be an encouragement. And we'll come back to that, but I want you to understand that. It says, "And you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father. Have you?" And have you? It's a question. That's why there's a question mark. "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father, addresses his son?" It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose everyone he accepts as his son." He goes on and says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more while as they thought best. But God disciplined us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness." So I want to look at this idea of discipline and well, I'll even share here. I mean, the word discipline means in the Greek as they're talking here. It's to bring up, to train, to educate, to raise, to influence, to punish. Basically, everything that we would consider as the role of a parent, that's what this word is. And so this is what he's talking about. He's talking about God disciplining us, God raising us, God training us, God educating us, God making us who we are supposed to be. And so I want to share just a few things as it relates to God and us, and then we're going to look at what we can do, how our role as parents, and again, this is, I'll say in a moment, but this isn't even limited to just moms and dads. It's limited to anyone that's a mentor, that's a leader, that's a role model for a child. That's, this word is used there. So I want to talk about a few things. First of all, I want you to understand that right away, we think negative things. You remember that story, and this week in your prime groups, you're going to have a chance to tell your horror trauma stories when you were a kid, and that thing you did, you know, and all of a sudden, man, mom and dad were not happy. That time you broke that, you know, that very important item, the time you didn't do the thing that dad told you to do, and you got lost in the mall, or whatever. And we think of discipline, and that's what comes to our mind, is these negative ideas, these horrible things, moments of like, wow, that was rough. When we say, I'm going to discipline you, it's got a negative connotation. But and I guess in some respects it does, which is what I'll say in a second. But understand that overall, in general, discipline is good. Discipline is good for us. And I need to clarify something here. There is a difference between discipline and abuse. So I just want to make that clear. And sometimes that's hazy. I'd say sometimes there's people that would call some things abuse that I would say, other, you know. But just understand, there is a difference between the two, and that's important. But he says that discipline is good for us in this passage. He says that, where does he say? He forgot, it's a word of encouragement in the verse there. Yeah, he says, as a father addresses his son, he says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart. So he says, you know what, don't. Don't make light of this. He says, don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged by it, because the another word here is punish. He punishes everyone he accepts as a son. He's saying that, you know, when we undergo discipline from God, when we go through a hard time, which is what he talks about in the very next verse, when we go through a difficult situation, he says, that's because God loves us. God is demonstrating disciplines the one he loves. And I just need to get that as we start out, the understanding that discipline is not a bad thing. And as we consider our relationship with our kids, discipline is not a bad thing. Because a lot of times we avoid doing these things because we're living for now and not for the fruit later. But we're supposed to be doing this for the kids, for our children's benefit for later. And so he says, don't think of it, well, this is a bad thing. I don't want to hurt my relationship with my kids. You're probably hurting your relationship with your kids more by not disciplining, by not raising, educating, bringing them up the way you're supposed to, than you are by trying to be their friend. And just a personal pet peeve, this isn't scripture, but your job is not to be your kid's friend. You're supposed to love them, but and it's great when you get older, like maybe when you're when be your kid's buddy. Your job is to be their parent, or their grandparent, or their guardian, whatever your role might be. And so discipline, we think of it as a bad thing, but the writer of Hebrews is saying it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a demonstration that God loves us enough that he says, you know what, I'm not content to watch you walk off of the edge of that bridge. I'm not content to see you go that way that's going to lead to your destruction. He says, I'm going to do something, and it might hurt, but I'm going to bring you back the way that you need to be. I'm going to change your course. I'm going to change your direction. When he says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. But to understand that discipline is a way God demonstrates his love for us. He helps us, he corrects us, he trains us. And it's a point where when we go through a hard time, then God isn't there anymore. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, no, it's just the opposite. If something bad is happening, God is probably there. And I need to clarify this too, that there's a lot of things that happen bad in our lives. And Scripture is full of reasons. One of them is just plain sin. Sin. The earth is cursed. The world is cursed because of sin. And so bad things happen. Sickness, disease are a result of sin. Sometimes this idea of discipline, that God is trying to correct you. That's why something bad happens in your life. Sometimes bad things happen in our lives because God is bringing us through something so that we can comfort somebody else when they go through that hard time. Scripture is full of some different reasons, but he says here, when you go through those, whatever they are, understand that this is a way that God is demonstrating his love to you. Enough that I'm going to correct you. I don't think you guys would be content to watch, you know, your child stand in the middle of a train track with a train coming. I would say that's abuse if you didn't do something about it. No, you want to get them out of the way. And maybe if your kid is on the train track, you know, I can imagine Tommy doing something like that. Oh, it's okay. He's not going to get me. You know, I would probably forcefully grab his arm and yank him. And it may even pull his arm out of socket, which would be horrible. A little bit of pain would be worth the fact that he didn't die. Now, understand, I'm not putting my son out there, and a good parent wouldn't be like, oh, where is he? But if you follow me, sometimes there is pain involved, but that pain is for the sake of their benefit. So, and that's exactly what God does for us. That we go through hard times. We go through difficult times. God is showing us his love. God is correcting us. God is fixing us through here. And it says that word chastens here or punishes. It's not a pleasant word. It means to whip. God is correcting us, it's going to hurt. And again, we usually have two responses to that. It's a not that we're like some kind of masochist that we like pain, but I think the writer of Hebrews is saying that we should say, okay, what is God trying to teach me through this? Is there something that he is trying to correct in my life because I'm going through this pain? And sometimes there's no answer. I mean, if you look at the story of Job, he suffered a lot. And the only reason he suffered is because he loved God and followed him. But when we go through difficult times, instead of saying, okay, you know what, why God, you're not there, why don't we say, okay, what can I learn from this? How is God fixing me? How is God correcting me? Discipline is good for us. The second thing this passage shows us is that discipline connects us. Discipline shows us that we are part of God's family, that we are his sons and daughters. He says there in the next part of the verse here, and I'm using two different versions, that's why I keep flipping back and forth. What does he say? Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. So discipline not just shows us that it's a good thing, but it shows us that we are God's kids. Because God is going to discipline his children. You are not going to discipline someone else's children, generally. You know, I don't know, maybe you just get fed up one day, you snap, and you go ballistic on somebody else's kids. But I would recommend that is not an appropriate course of action in the 21st century here in the United States. Just my call. Lawsuits sound all around there. But you discipline your own children. I mean, it's like the babysitter. You know, your babysitter doesn't discipline your kids. They might put them in time out over here for a second or say don't do that. But the reality is that you wait till your mom and dad get home, you're going to be in trouble. You know, that's where the discipline comes. The babysitter doesn't. And I would be a little bit upset if I came home and, you know, little teenage girl's like, oh, yeah, you know, I spanked Tommy 4 times and I took Jack's dinner away. I'm like, that's not your job. That's my job. I'm the parent. It's my job to discipline. And I do that because I am a parent, because that is my role. Return to, we were looking into getting foster children as well, to care for them and to love them. And one of the things, I mean, Tommy was the main reason that we ended up not going in that direction at this point in our life. But one of the other things that stood out is that we had to follow the appropriate, approved, you know, international foster care adoption guidelines for discipline, which basically was not anything that we do to our kids. And so it would have been a challenge, one, just because there would be inconsistency between that, but, you know, we just had some personal issues where we're like, I think this is appropriate for disciplining. And they would say, no, you can't do that. And there was a long list of things you couldn't do. Because you're not really the parent. You're just the foster parent. But the real parents, they're the ones, the adoptive parents, the natural biological parents, they're the ones that are to do the job of discipline. And that's what the writer's saying here, is that, look, discipline, man, that doesn't just show you that God doesn't love you. It shows you he loves you more. You're part of his family. You know, because that's a sign of discipline. Or that's a sign of love, is that when you discipline your kids, it shows them that, hey, man, you're my kid. Now, I'm not going to discipline any of your kids. You probably punch me. But I'll discipline my kids because that's my responsibility. And it's a sign of connection. It's a sign of family that's there. And I was saying earlier, it says, for what children are not disciplined by their father, the Greek word father there means not just dad, male person. It's the idea of mentor, of anyone that is a model, an ancestor. So I don't want you to think here, well, I'm not dad, so I can't discipline. You know, this applies to grandparents. This applies to aunts, uncles. I mean, anyone that has responsibility as a mentor, as the leader, the parent's role of a child, that's their job. And so it's a connection there, that discipline we go through. It shows us that we're children of God. And the third thing is that discipline grows us. Discipline is to make us better. He says there in verse 179, he says, I can't even read that. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. For the most part, again, discipline, abuse, there's a line there. Maybe, you know, I don't know what your past is. If you were abused, that obviously would change your view of that respect issue. But he says, you know, for the most part, we look back and say, Dad, Mom, thank you so much for not letting me go out that night drinking with my friends when I was 12. You know, my life is all the better for it. And at the time, we're like, but come on, everybody's doing it. Who's driving? Johnny, how old is he? 14? Like, no, you're not going there. I mean, like, we didn't like it at the time. We look back and say, okay, that was probably a good decision. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Appreciate you helping us out on that one. But he says then, you know, we respect our parents, but how much more when it comes to God, who disciplines us, and he is perfect. He loves us perfectly. He knows exactly what we need. He says, when God disciplines us, man, we should respect God even more. We should submit to him. And the word submit means to do that. Say, okay, God, I'm going to go through whatever you're giving me because it's for my good. I'm going to endure whatever I'm going through because you're doing something to shape me, to make me better. And that's what he goes on. It says, your parents, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. You know, and I don't know, maybe you're a genius parent. But for me, I'm kind of like, I think this is going to work. And I think this is going to work. Okay, that did not work. All right, and then as a smart parent, okay, that didn't work, so I'm going to try it again. That didn't work again. Okay, I'm going to try that again. And, you know, there's been all sorts of things with our kids where we're like, oh, I mean, even as I look at my individual kids, like Kara, I can go, and she'll cry. like that's all it takes for her. Not that end of the spectrum. He's at the far other end of the spectrum. But anyway, so, you know, we discipline kind of as we figure, but it says here, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. God, who is the perfect parent, the perfect father, knows exactly the best way to discipline us, exactly the way we need. He does it for our good so that we can share in his holiness. He is making us holier. And he goes on and says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. And I don't want you to walk into this, you know, hearing me say that, oh, yeah, man, my life is really hard right now. Woohoo! You know, no, it's not pleasant. It's hard. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what God has brought you through, what he is teaching you, what he is training in your life. But it's not easy. It's painful. It's a hard thing. But later on, however, he disciplines us because he is shaping us. He is correcting us. And he's not just doing it for now, he's doing it for later. God is working things in our life that maybe we're going to get pruned a little bit. Maybe we're going to smell like poop a little bit. Maybe he's going to protect us from somebody that we think, well, I really want to spend time with that, but they're going to come in and try to eat your leaves. And it's for our benefit. God is doing that for us. Discipline grows us. It makes us more fruitful, literally. It helps us to live. So that is how God does it. God is doing that to us constantly. He's shaping us, making us more and more and more and more and more and more and more like his son Jesus. And the big fancy theological word is called sanctification. God is making us holier. He is making us look more like him. And we're never going to get there until we are with Jesus. But he's making us more like that each day. He's chipping away things. He's pruning off the stuff. And I don't know what it's like for you guys, but and maybe this is kind of my confession earlier in the prayer time. Like, when things are going well, I don't need God. When things are going well, I don't have to fall back on him because I've got it under control. And sometimes, you know, when I go through hard times, man, I'm on my knees. I am praying. I am submitting. God, what can I do? Help me through this. God, I need you. And sometimes that's all it takes. It's just God just says, okay, I'm going to do this now in you because I want you to submit to me. I want you to follow me, to obey me. And we'll talk about obedience next week. And sometimes it's little tweaks. And other times, you know, there's major tragedies because God's trying to get our attention. Sometimes something horrible happens and God uses that to get our attention. Didn't. But anyway, but just understand that sometimes we go through hardship, and that's what he's saying here in this passage, that God is trying to train us. He is trying to grow us. He is disciplining us. He is raising us, educating us, making us more like Jesus, because he's focused on the fruit. He's focused on the end result, not on all the work now. And if we get caught up in today, and today is hard, today is always hard. Even if today is tomorrow, today is hard. Today is next week, today is hard. Somehow, like, you know, I look forward to vacations for me because it's like, oh, it's vacation, Kendra. Let's go somewhere. You know, we could go to that camper that your aunt has and have a great time. And it's so relaxing. And we'll just eat. And in her mind, she's like, okay, so I have to watch the kids, though. And I have to bake all the food. Then I have to plan the menu and bring it because they don't even have food there. And, like, you know, even vacation is hard. And it's hard for me too. There's hard parts, but all that to say that for the sake of later. So we're not doing it for now. So I want to just give you some four things. These are from Scripture. These aren't necessarily about parenting, but they're just some tips. Am I the perfect parent? By no means, at all. I am learning and learning and learning things all the time. But I just want to share a few things that I think will help us as we raise our kids. If you're not parents, you can write this down. You can send it to a parent you know that needs it. I don't know. Save it for a rainy day. If you're getting married, say, in the next week or so, you know, save it for that time when you may have kids or something. So here's some things. First of all is, when it comes to discipline, discipline lovingly. Discipline lovingly. You need to always discipline when it comes to disciplining your kids. And I think this is the line between abuse. It's not done out of venting or retribution. You know, oh, I'm going to get back at my 4-year-old as a 35-year-old man. 36? I'm 36. As a 36-year-old man, yeah, and he's 5. I don't have a 5-year-old right now either. I was just, or 4-year-old. It was just for analogy's sake. Anyway, it's not about retribution. It's about love. Ephesians 4:15 says, well, he says right here, he says, so we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. When we discipline, it should be done in love. The goal should be correction, not retribution. It shouldn't be getting back at them. It should be so that I'm doing this for your good. I am keeping you from going out with those kids for your good. I am spanking you for, you know, getting into the cereal in the middle of the night for your good. I'm doing these things for your good, and it's got to be done in love. And one of the things that was really cool, when we were first, I think we were engaged, I had a long talk with Kendra's dad, and talked with him just about different things. And one of the things that he used to do with his kids is when they would get in trouble, whether they were younger and they got spanked, or they were older and got sent to their room, he would always come up afterwards, you know, 15 minutes later, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I would always come up afterwards and then sit together. It was just such a cool step for a dad, you know, who's the man of the house, all that stuff, to be able to say, hey, I'm going to go up and I'm going to come to my kid and say, hey, this is what's going on. I mean, it was completely in love. And then that's the end. That's not, there's no correction there. There's no love there. It's just a we need to be doing it in love so that we are correcting them. And I've done that with my kids, and it's amazing being able to go up and say, do you understand why you got sent to your room? Why? Well, because I said some really mean things to my sister and it made her cry. Do you think that's a good thing? No. So does it make sense that I sent you to your room for doing something mean like that? Yeah, and suddenly we have a learning moment, a teaching. It can't be any other way. The second thing is we need to discipline consistently. This can't be, you can't just wait until you've had enough and then you snap. You know, and I know that happens with my kids. You know, sometimes we're like doing something wrong. I'm ignore. Then I'm just frustrated. So I snap. That's it. Get out of here. Go to your room. Don't look at my face. And you're like, what happened? They've been doing the same thing over and over and over. And the first 60 times, it didn't seem to matter until I snapped because I wasn't consistent. We need to be consistent. And in Proverbs 13:24 says this. It says, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. And this idea of sparing the rod, you know, refers to corporal punishment, spanking, whatever. We do that. We don't use a rod. That sounds pretty rough. But he's talking about the idea of being careful to discipline and being intentional about it, saying, I'm gonna take the time to think through what I'm doing. I'm gonna do it consistently, I'm gonna do it over and over. So and it's repeated behaviors. He does this wrong, he needs to get disciplined for it. He does it again, he needs to be disciplined. He does it again, he needs to be disciplined. Because what happens, and I sound like some kind of weird sociologist or something, but you know, Once that's not consistent, they think, oh, well, I did it this time and I got away with it. It's okay. So then they're like, I guess this is okay. They do it again. Then all of a sudden we snap again. And they're like, what went wrong? The first time it was okay. Now it's not okay. So we just need to be consistent because we're trying to raise them. We're trying to grow them into something, not for now, but for later. And so consistency, we need to be careful to discipline. We need to be to think through that. You know, your kids crave boundaries. They love, and I think that's one of the things that keeps us from disciplining. Is like, we don't want to there's a good thing to it. The other thing is, I just want to throw with this consistently, is that, and maybe, I'm talking as a guy, I'm not a woman. So I don't think necessarily the way women do, and I know that Kendra tends to be a lot more compassionate and a lot more like, but you don't get the situation, which is a good thing to do. And sometimes I'm just like, you know, I'm ninja spanker. But one of the things that I think is helpful when it comes to consistency is I always seem to catch my kids when they're doing the wrong thing. But I think it's a great thing to catch your kids doing good. When you see them doing the right thing, praise them for it. See, yeah, that was a great job there. You didn't pee your pants. Good job. Instead of, you peed your pants, smack. You know, catch them doing the good thing. And as they get older, you know, hey, I saw that you had a decision to make about going out with those people and you chose not to. Good job. Catch them doing good. That's part of that consistency because that helps as well. That's discipline. That's what the whole word means, to be raising the kids up. The third thing is discipline intentionally. Discipline intentionally. Let the punishment fit the crime. Try to deal with situations so that, hey, if you're trying to correct, if you're trying to help them grow, if you're trying to fix the problem, that's going to make me feel better, I guess. But it's not going to fix the problem. And we need to discipline intentionally. In Proverbs 22:6, it says this, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. And the way he should go, that the Hebrew idea there is make fit what fits them. Like I said, with Kara, I don't have to spank Kara. I don't. She's just, she just look for me, and she gets it. She understands. Huh? He's like, he's ready for it. He's like, I've made the decision in my head. That is worth what I'm going to do here. So spanking doesn't quite work with him either. You know, there are different things that we've had to try. And so I just. I'm not just talking about spanking. I mean, there are timeouts. Some kids' timeout works. And there's all these different things. An example was about a month ago, 2 months ago, Jack had this, like, this streak of, like, just, he wasn't thinking. He would just do something and, like, oh, yeah, I guess I shouldn't have done that, you know, and be walking by and just kick his sister. Like, why did you do that? And I forget what he did. He did something that got personal. He did something to my stuff, you know. See, that's the consistency thing, going back to the previous one. I should get him every time, but I wait till it gets personal, which is wrong. But I'm like, dude, boy, you're not thinking. It wasn't that he was being bad. It was just poor decision-making. And so I'm like, you need to think. You need to think. You need to think. You need to stop. Just take 1 second and say, should I be doing this before I do it? And once you got him to do that, that really helps. So I'm like, how can I? We all realize, when it comes to discipline, Aretha Franklin. We have Just Dance. And on the game Just Dance for the Wii is a song called Think. You better think. Think about what you know that song? Hey, Blues Brothers, anyway, 70s. Okay. So, for Jack's punishment, because he was not thinking, I could have spanked him. I sent him in his room. Probably wouldn't have done anything. So he had five. He had to play Just Dance to Think 5 times in a row. And if his score didn't go up, he had to give it again. And so that was his punishment. And I will tell you what, of course he had some fun with it. And we were all sitting around laughing because Just Dance is cool when there's like 4 people. But when it's a 5-year-old boy by himself, you start to feel kind of bad. But it was discipline. And he doesn't even have to say anything. He's like, yeah, I remember that time that we played Just Dance. I have to think. And, you know, it was a fun thing, but it was discipline to fit the crime. Punishment to fit the crime. And we need to be intentional when it comes to discipline. And I'm not saying you need to play Just Dance with all your kids. But as he did that, he realized the words. You better think, you better think, you better think. He started to realize, you know what, I need to think. So then the last thing is discipline patiently. And this kind of wraps full circle back with the lovingly thing. But James chapter 1 says, what does this version say that I have here? My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And so when it comes to for us, it's letting us get it out of our system. And discipline should be not done in anger. It should be done patiently and saying, okay, you know, and I think one of the healthy things, I mean, the other day, Tommy decided to fill our heat register from the basement all the way up to the second floor with trucks. And I literally, like, just, yeah, and Jack did that a few years ago with little people. So there's really, this is not going to happen again. And so then Tommy did it. And then I had to go down to the basement and untape it. And I was furious. And so I told Kendra, I need to go. And so I walked away. And I think it was actually like Monday, wasn't it? I'm like, I just studied this passage on discipline. Now I have to do what I say. But I walked away and then came back. And you know what? There was no bloodshed on him or me. It was good. I was able to say, okay. He was being a boy. I was able to discipline him appropriately, and especially because I wasn't doing it in anger. And I think that's a key, is that you can't be disciplining in anger. So these are not like, I guess they're based on scripture, but they're not necessarily all about discipline, but I just kind of throw them out there. We need to be loving in our discipline. We need to be consistent. We need to do it intentionally. We need to do it patiently. Because again, all the work that we do as parents, all the time we put into it, it's not about the work. It's not about now. It's about later. And I, you know, and I'm sure you could talk to people that have grown children. You can't correct it later. You can't fix it later. You can't come back later when they're completely not going the direction. And hopefully the direction is to follow God and to to serve Him, submit to Him. But no, wherever your kids are, whatever their ages are, whether you're their parents, whether you're adopted, fostering, grandparents, uncles, whatever, our job is now, and it's going to take work. You might have poop all over your hands. You might have to go out and cut some things off that might not be too pleasant for them. You might have to put a lot of hard work into it and be sweaty. And but He says, I'm looking for something greater for you. And so He disciplines us, and that's what we need to do with our kids. So let's pray. God, thank You so much. And thank You for Your word. And I thank You that You don't give up on us, that You are consistent and that You love us enough to discipline us, and that it's a good thing. And You bring us through hard times, and we know that You're not leaving us, You're not abandoning us during those times, but that we can cling to You and grow because of it. And so I pray for all the parents, grandparents, guardians, aunts, uncles, I mean, pretty much this whole room, everybody here, God, whether we have kids, want to have kids, used to have kids, never want kids, whatever. I just pray that You would help us to discipline those in our families appropriately. Help us to see it as an act of love, and help us to realize that it's not about now. It's not about the pain of having to go up there and talk to them again. It's not about the response and anger, but it's about something for later. It's about correcting them so that they will grow to bear amazing fruit. They'll grow to be people that love You with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us to do that as parents, I pray, God. Give us the strength to do it. Thank You for the privilege of it, and help us not to slack off, but to depend on You through it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.